You see, Luke wrote to his countrymen just like Matthew wrote to his. He wrote to the Greek mind, and they were one of the most important segments of humanity. And I think that that would be an important segment today, the intellectual community, and the Gospel of Luke is for them. You see, in the 4th century, the Greek placed on the horizon of history the most brilliant and scintillating display of human genius the world has ever seen. That is the 4th century B.C. It was called the Periclean Age. I'll have reference or two to that later on. And the Greek attempted to perfect humanity. He attempted to develop a perfect man. And you'll find it in the physical realm. The statues, the works of Phidias and Praxiteles, they all are striving to present a perfect man. And then that was also not only in the physical realm, but in the mental realm. Not just the beautiful man, but the man of reason, the thinking man. That was Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. And there was in the literary world, Homer and Euripides, Sophocles, Demosthenes. And he attempted to attain the universal man. They made their gods in the likeness of man. The gods of the Greeks were just projections of man. Beautiful statues, Apollo and Venus and Athena and Diana. Not the ugly representations that come out of paganism of the Orient. They deified all of man. Noble qualities. Also base passions. That was Aphrodite and Cupid and Bacchus and Pluto and the god Pan. Not all of them are graces, you see, and some of them were furies. And that wonderful culture, Alexander the Great scattered that culture, but also a language and a philosophy. And in Alexandrian Egypt, the Old Testament was translated into Greek. We call it the Septuagint, one of the finest that we have today of the Old Testament. The New Testament was written in Greek. You see, the Greek provided the vehicle, a wonderful language for the expression and the communication of the gospel to all of mankind. It's been the finest vehicle to express a fact and to communicate a thought. And for one millennium, the Greek tried to perfect humanity. But you see, the Greeks fell short. Utopia did not arrive, friends. They never came upon the Elysian fields, and they lost sight of the spiritual, and this world became the home and the playground and the workshop and the grave. And Dr. F.W. Robertson put it like this, the more the Greek attached himself to this world, the more the unseen became a dim world. And that's the reason that you find him making an image to the unknown God. And that's where Paul began with the Athenians. And when Paul entered Athens, the cultivated Athenians, they were skeptics. They called Paul a babbler, and they mocked him. And Paul wrote, he says that the gospel to the Greeks is foolishness. And Paul wrote to the Greek mind. He said to the Ephesians, for they were Greek, he says, you were in times past Gentiles, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the picture. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And down a Roman road came Paul with a universal language, preaching a global gospel about the perfect man who died for the men of the world. You see, the religion of Israel could only produce a Pharisee. The power of Rome could only produce a Caesar. And the philosophy of Greece could only produce a global giant like Alexander the Great. But Luke wrote to the Greek mind, and he presented Jesus as the perfect man, the universal man, the very one that they were looking for. And here is what we have in the Gospel of Luke. In the first 3 chapters, the birth of the perfect man and his family. And you can write over this entire gospel, behold the man. And he was made like unto his brethren. That's the way Dr. Luke presents him. And then from chapter 4, Well, in fact, in all of chapter 4 down through verse 30, you have the testing of the perfect man and his hometown. And then, beginning with chapter 4, verse 30, through the 21st chapter, verse 38, you have the ministry of the perfect man. And then you have the betrayal, the trial, and death of the perfect man, our kinsman redeemer, chapters 22 and 23, and in chapter 24, the resurrection of the perfect man. And he's still a man, and he's a man today at God's right hand. Dr. Luke would have us know that. Now, Dr. Luke gives us 20 miracles, and 6 of them are recorded in no other gospel. He likewise gives us more parables than any other writer, and he also gives us parables that no other writer gives us. He gives us 23 parables, and 18 of them are found nowhere else. The parables of the prodigal son and the good Samaritan are peculiar to this gospel here. And he also gives the very human account of the walk of the Lord to Emmaus that day, the resurrected Lord. He was sown a natural body, Paul said, but he was raised a spiritual body, and Dr. Luke confirms that.